America, Houston. We just finished a site handover. And we're seeing some excessive counts on the UV. We'd like to chase the problem a little. And to do that, we'd like you to turn the UV off for 5 seconds and then back on. Over.
Ascension Comtech, Houston Comtech, Net 1, voice check, how do you copy?
Ascension Comtech, I read you loud and clear.
Roger, Ascension.
Houston 17. How do you read after command reset?
17, that's Houston. You're loud and clear. Have you been calling?
Yes, sir. We've been calling. After your handover, we heard your statement that you handed over and then hadn't been able to contact you after that. I just hit a command reset.
Okay, Jack, that was a problem here on the ground. Over.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We've got B simplex on, apparently left over from the limb checks. I suspect I should turn that off, right?
That's affirmative. Okay, that's interesting. I sure don't know why either.
Just trying to keep your day interesting there, Gordy. Now that you won't let us look at the Earth anymore, we'll start looking in the cabin.
Okay, while you're looking in the cabin, I got a new hydrogen cryo configuration for you to minimize the pressure cycling and cut down the wear and tear on the motor switch. If you're ready to do it, I'll read it.
Go ahead.
Okay, on H2 tank 1 and tank 2 heaters, both of them off. On the fans, tank 1 fans on, tank 2 fans off, I think they're there already, and tank 3 fans auto. Over.
Hey, there's a new configuration. Okay, H2 heaters 1 and 2 are off, H2 fans 1 is on, 2 is off, and 3 is auto.
Okay, sounds good.
sounds like an ECOM special.
That it is.
Hello, Houston. I've got the limb of the moon.
Very good.
Got the limb of the moon out the, got it out the center hatch. We're just barely seeing the horizon of the moon. But boy, is it big.
Roger.
Well, that must be, talk about a sliver of a moon. That is a sliver of a sliver. Coil, we're coming in right down on top of it. What's our perigee, did you say? 53 miles?
Roger, that's about right. Don't worry, you'll miss it.
I just want to hear you say it, because I'm going to hold you to it. As long as you shadow your eyes from the sun is just about laying on the horizon of the moon. And as a matter of fact, as I watch it, I can watch your horizon, the amount of daylight terminator get larger.
Roger.
Unless I get proven wrong here, I think we'll be able to watch it all the way in as long as we can keep shadowed from the sun.
Okie doke.
I tell you, when you get out here, it's a big mambo. Marty, it's a sight to remember, not just because of the uniqueness of the view, but because we all got to ask ourselves if we really know where we are and what we're really looking at right this moment. And when you answer that question is yes, it sort of becomes an epic sight in your mind.
Roger, Gene.
My congratulations to the trench for solving another rendezvous problem.
Roger.
Gordy, can you tell us how far we are right now from the boat?
Sure, we can. Stand by. Right now, you're about 5,000 miles from the surface.
Okay, thank you.
Go ahead.
I think I got a visual on the SIM bay door now out window 5. Just about directly off our present plus Y axis.
Okay. Must be way out there by now.
Roger. Morty, what's the Mocha having for dinner this Sunday?
Well, let's see. I guess we haven't sent out for hamburgers yet. There's a few brown bags in sight, but that's about it.
My goodness. Doesn't look like I have a chance to go to church today, but under the circumstances, I guess it'll be okay. Next time you see the good father, you might have to put a good word in for us.
Okay, I'll do that.
Morty, is in our present attitude, I'm seeing the limb of the moon contacts down towards our minus X axis. That's out of the hatch window. Can you tell me which is the north and which is the south pole?
Okay, stand by.
Yeah, I'd be all squared away if the moon were on Jack's side, because he's got that N on his head, but I'm a little mixed up now.
Roger, I understand your problem.
I'm thinking the top of the limb towards the sun is probably the north.
Batch.
Corey, I think I got it. With the north has got to be on the right as I look at the limb of the moon opposite the sun. Because when we go into retrograde attitude, it's got to be over there. I think I can see Corlin without any problem. It's a little bit north of the equator.
Gotcha. Yep. And I'm getting lots of advice here.
Okay, I bet you are, but I think I got it oriented. You can literally watch yourself fall down in. As we get closer, if we're going to have a view like this, it's going to be pretty dramatic because recalling the way you climb on out of the moon when you leave it, if you can see, and I can remember remarks at that time, gee, if we could see it like this when we came back in, we would have to close our eyes. If we can see this thing coming in like I think we may be able to see it, that 50 miles isn't going to look like very much.
We agree.
Considering the wind putting, Gordy, we're considering. Gordy, we're considering putting the window covers up.
You're checking, sir.
That's going to be one of those high angle energy conversion roundouts.
From our information here, if you're looking at the moon so that the dark limb is up, then north should be to the right.
Yeah, I concur, and that's the way it is.
Roger.
The horizon is just steadily growing bigger.
Does it look about the same as last time?
What do you mean last time? A couple of years ago?
Right.
Gordy, we never saw it coming in a couple of years ago. We saw it, as I recall, a day out, and we saw just a shadow in the limb. But to my best recollection, we never saw it this close. As a matter of fact, we went into darkness prior to going in LOI, and this time, much to my amazement, we don't. But I see now that we won't, and I see why. I tell you, everyone who's seen that view leaving knows how fast you climb out, and by golly, the closer we get to it, the faster we're coming in.
Batch.
This is Apollo Control at 87 hours, 16 minutes, ground elapsed time in the mission of Apollo 17. Some 1 hour and 38 minutes until ignition on lunar orbit insertion. Presently, spacecraft is 4,243 nautical miles away from the moon. The moon is getting larger, as noted by the crew. They considered closing the window shades in the spacecraft. Velocity is now 4,544 feet per second. Some numbers on acquisition of the spacecraft. With a burn, a normal burn, the acquisition on the east limb of the moon would be at 89 hours, 16 minutes, 29 seconds. Without a burn, it would be somewhat sooner, 89 hours, 7 minutes, 46 seconds. A private conversation was conducted with the Apollo 17 crew from ground elapsed time of 85:46:55 to 86:04:46. The subject of the conversation was Gene Cernan's request for suggestions concerning alleviating some gas symptoms he had had during the flight. The following is a summary of the conversation. The call to the crew was made by Donald K. Slayton, Director of Flight Crew Operations. Dr. Royce Hawkins, Chief of Medical Operations at MSC, asked Cernan to explain his symptoms. Cernan reported it was no great problem, but that he has had some greater gas discomfort than his fellow crew members. He said he felt quite fine at this time, and there was never any pain or nausea associated with the discomfort. Cernan advised Dr. Hawkins of the antigas medication, simethicone, he had been taking. Dr. Hawkins recommended to Cernan that he continue the medication after meals and before going to sleep. Hawkins also advised Cernan on some changes to his menu over the next 2 days to reduce the discomfort. Cernan reported, quote, "I'm better. There's nothing detrimental or incapacitating about this. We're all in good shape. We hope things are looking as good down there as they are up here," close quote. Lunar module pilot Harrison Schmidt reported the crew had encountered some difficulty with the onboard system that separates gas bubbles from the drinking water supply. Schmidt was advised that the gas separator system has given the crews problems on previous Apollo flights. Astronaut John Young, commander of the Apollo 16 mission and backup commander for Apollo 17, also talked briefly to the astronauts and wished them well. Distance now 4,125 nautical miles from the moon. Velocity 4,570. Still 1 hour and 35 minutes, Mark, until ignition on lunar orbit insertion burn. At 8719, this is Apollo Control.
That's a rise that probably covers a good couple of degrees. I can now see relief on the on the horizon itself against the dark space.
Roger.
And the rim of Korolev is readily visible, standing out by itself in the darker, the unlit part of the moon. I can see the central peaks or mountains very well lit up. Gordy, what I called a central peak or a range in there must undoubtedly be that inner ring, but it the way it was lit up in the sunlight give you a definite impression it had an elongated central range.
Roger, and for Jack, no problem starting early on the checks.
Okay, they're in work.
okay, Jack, and we'd like 5 minutes of operation with it open.
Okay, mark it open. Okay, Houston 17, I've started the secondary glycol pump, and I neglected to make a check on the VAP out temperature. Do you have that? Did we get a decrease?
Stand by. That looks okay, Jack.
Gordo, there's 905. Roger. And you're looking at the torque and angle. Okay, Houston, I'm going SPS pressure indicator to 2.
Okay, Jack, you can close the UV cover and go ahead and roll back to 064 roll. And you're clear to torque the P-52.
Okay, UV cover's closed. Going back to SPS pressure indicator 1.
Okay. America, Houston, we still see the UV door open. Have you closed it yet?
Okay, it's now closed, Gordy.
Roger. America, Houston, I have the LOI and map update pads when you're ready.
Stand by, one, Gordon. Gordy, what do you have, a map update on page 3-83 of the flight plan?
That's affirmative. Okay, it's for Rev 1. AOS without burn is 089-0746. With the burn is 089-1629.
Okay, without the burn is 0746, and with the burn is 1629.
That's affirmative, and then I have your LOI maneuver pad. Okay, LOI, SBS / GNN. The weight is 66361 plus 121 minus 012. Ignition time is 08854 2174. Down 81 minus 279-88 plus 10449 minus 00425. Roll, pitch, and yaw are all zero. Down 44-01701. Plus 00525 29877. Burn time is 638 29814. Sextant star is 452521135. Rest of the pad is NA. GDC aligned stars are Sirius and Rigel. 1, 2, 2, 3, 5, 4, 0, 0, 0. Ullage is none. Remarks, LEM weight, 36312. Single bank burn time is 651. Over. Stand by on the rebank. Okay, we'll take accept and give you the uplinks while you're reading it back.
Okay, Gordy, here's your read back. You've got accept. It's LOI bad. SPS GNN 66361 plus 121 minus 012 088 54 2174 minus 27988 plus 10449 minus 00425 000000001701 plus 00525 29877 638 29814 45 25 21 135. Rest of pad is NA, Sirius and Rigel, 1, 2, 2, 3, 5, 4, 0, 0, 0. There's no ullage. Limb weight 36312, single bank burn time 6 plus 51.
Okay, that's a good read back. This is your computer, America. You have a state vector, verb 66, and a target load. Go back to block.
Okay, it's in block, Gordy. We're finishing up on the bottom of 3-79.
Okay.
And back at this roll attitude, I've got the big old moon again, and from where I sit, it looks like we're right on target. 50 miles above target, I'd like to add.
Okay, that sounds good.
The limb is, of course, still growing and a little more rapidly. And what I can see of the limb that's not blocked out by the sun, it's getting obviously much larger in the window.
Roger.
I guess it depends on the shadowing of the sun as to whether or not we're going to see too much. I think retrograde we ought to see quite a bit once we get over the terminator.
America, Houston, for your information, your altitude is about 3,000 miles now.
Okay, 3,000 miles. Gordy, the limb has much more three-dimensional relief now towards us. You can get the feeling that the horizon, the lidded portion of the horizon, definitely does flow in our direction. And although you can't see the unlit portion of the moon, you get a feeling that there's a great deal more of it, a lot closer than that which you can see.
Roger.
Gordy, the 3SPS burn sim prep is complete.
Roger.
And I'm going to give my buddies a chance to look at it now.
Okay.
A geologist speechless at his first near shot at the moon, but I haven't heard a word from him yet. This geologist turned engineer for about an hour.
He's probably speechless because there's no clouds to talk about. Okay, everything looks good here also.
Okay. And is your LMS of about 4 or 5 still good?
I'll double check that. America, the flight plan is correct on LOS. To be exact, it'll be 88-43-40.
Could get an idea down there, the needle you're threading, when you shoot for 50 miles at a quarter million, you'd be mighty proud of yourselves, I'll tell you, we are.
Roger.
just, I really ought to wait and tell you that at 89-16-29.
Roger.
Gordy, do you have any idea what our relative speed is to the moon at this time?
Yes, it's 5,000 feet per second. Yeah, you're presently 2,660 miles up.
Roger,
I was just talking to John about it a couple minutes ago. Their view on 16 was, they didn't have any sunlit moon, but they did have pretty good earth shine.
It's an unbelievable view through the binocular now. You can really see down into the depths of some of the larger craters and with a great deal of clarity, and you can see the some of the higher ridges actually rolling right over the horizon as they go away from you.
Roger, Jim. As you take your last look there, you're presently just a little over 2,000 miles up, and you're coming down about 4,500 feet per second.
Yeah, you better believe that. there's only one better view than this.
What's that, Gene?
Right at the moment anyway. Is to be out there and watching this spacecraft maneuver in attitude and watch it burn over the lunar surface. I get the feeling someone is watching.
Watch. Omni Charlie, please. Apollo 17 Houston, we just had a sight handover, and that's resulted in the LOS time changing 19 seconds. It's now 43:21.
Okay, 43:21, and we're on Omni Charlie.
Roger.
Pitch back into LOI attitude, lo and behold, from over the top of the lamp came the Earth.
Very good.
Got the whole thing in one big package.
16 Gorilla, we can see, we're right over South America, and of course we can see up the Gulf Coast, and that looks like Houston's covered with clouds, but poetically enough, we can see the Cape, at least we can see Florida.
How about that?
This is Apollo Control, 88 hours, 17 minutes into the mission of Apollo 17. Some 26 minutes now until Apollo 17 passes behind the moon, coming up on the lunar orbit insertion burn in which the spacecraft will start its initial orbit, measuring 52 nautical miles by 170 nautical miles, an elliptical orbit around the moon. That maneuver will take place at a ground elapsed time of 88 hours, 54 minutes into the flight, and will slow the spacecraft down considerably from its present velocity of some 5,700 feet per second. Presently, the Apollo 17 spacecraft is 1,528 nautical miles out from the moon, approaching at 5,730 feet per second. After the spacecraft passes behind the moon 25 minutes from now, assuming a successful lunar orbit insertion burn, it should come from behind the east face of the moon, east limb of the moon, at approximately 33 minutes later. It will take a few moments for the ground stations to lock up on the downlink from the spacecraft, even though the theoretical contact time is roughly 33 minutes after loss of signal. At 88 hours, 18 minutes ground elapsed time, this is Apollo Control.
Copper 41991, in a one box now. Cut the commander's light.
Brian, you're loud and clear on box.
Okay, Agra, we're in attitude now.
Roger.
Houston, the star sextant check is go. We've got it in a sextant.
Roger.
Let's go ahead and go into D-40. 22, about 20 minutes. Yeah, it looks like we're pretty close to where we want to be anyhow. Yeah.
Okay, Gordo, we're standing by in B-40.
Roger, we're watching you.
Okay, everything is checking out good on board.
Roger.
Okay, let's go over the cue cards. Check it again. VD. VD roll. GDC is aligned. Okay, it looks like those breakers are going in. Pitch one, yaw one. Bad A circuit breakers are in. Mister, we're all in. Tap control, SPS are all closed. Okay, we got three up in right command. That limit cycles off to mid, right to low. Keep that limit so at 1 plus 10. Okay, here we go, 25, 21. Get tight. We'll tighten like 340. My scissors show up with this bird somewhere. Have a hard time eating if you guys take all the scissors with you. And my teeth are pretty good though. Unless you start, start an hour and 20 minutes late, but then it's more time plus five.
Apollo 17 Houston, if you three are interested in sticking around a while, you have our go for LOI.
Roger, Houston, understand America is go for LOI. And let it be known that the crew of America is go for LOI.
Roger that.
5-1, 1.5, CMC, GDC, command, rate command, rate command. Lumen cycles off, mid-band man, rate to low, trans control bars off. AC, directs are off at this time, CMC and auto. Rate 2. DVC is rate command. Couple motors are off, LIM, CSM. ELS is auto, ELS is mine. RCS logic is off. Roll is off on 5G. We're at BC and GPI. Couple drives in auto. Everything looks good.
mark out the view of the hatch window. We'll see at 89-16-29.
Okay, Gene, about 1 minute left to LOS. You have our wishes for a good burn.
Thank you, sir. We shall have one.
Signal as Apollo 17 coasted behind the moon on the start of the first lunar orbit. 10 minutes and 28 seconds away from lunar orbit insertion maneuver. A retrograde service propulsion system burn of some 2,988 feet per second. Assuming a successful burn, the spacecraft should come out from behind the moon at 89-16-29 ground elapsed time, as Gene Cernan promised it would before they went behind the moon. At loss of signal, the spacecraft was some 395 miles above the surface of the moon, traveling at a velocity of 7,241 feet per second. Seconds mark until LOI ignition at 88:44 and returning just before acquisition of signal as Apollo 17 comes from behind the moon. This is Apollo Control. This is Apollo Control, 89 hours, 15 minutes, ground elapsed time. Some 55 seconds until Apollo 17 comes from behind the moon on the start of the first lunar orbit. communications officer that we have indeed gotten a signal and telemetry from the spacecraft.
America, we hear you talking. Okay, this is Houston. How do you read it?
Attitude? Yeah, we're at 65, 60. Yeah, we're in attitude.
America, Houston, over.
Yeah, we're at the edge of Marginis.
This is Apollo Control. Here in the control center, we're hearing the crew aboard the spacecraft, Apollo 17, very clearly. However, the ground has not been able to fully lock up on the spacecraft with the so-called uplink, the voice uplink, and apparently it has to do with the 85-foot antenna at Goldstone. We're continuing to stand by until the two-way communications are complete. Hour and 20 minutes before loss of signal as we go across the face of the moon, the front face of the moon, on the first lunar orbit at 8920 and standing by. This is Apollo Control.
Houston, over.
America, Houston, this is America. You can breathe easier. America has arrived on station for the challenge ahead.
Very good. We've been hearing you for a couple minutes now. We've had a ground sight problem, but you're loud and clear now.
Okay, that's what we sort of thought, Gordo. SPS burn could not have been more nominal. I've got some numbers for you if you're ready to copy.
Go ahead.
JTIG was on time. JTIG was on time. Burn time was 6 plus 3-3. BG is 2-9-er, 8-9-er, 9-er. Roll was 0-0-8. Pitch 3-5-7. Yaw 0-0-6. All at the end of the bird. Residuals minus 0.3, plus 0.1, and 0. Delta VC was minus 6.8. Oxidizer 34.0. Fuel 34.5. Unbalance is 1-1-0. Decrease. The CMC holds us in a 170.3 by 52.5.
That sounds great, Gene.
It was an auto ignition. It was an auto shutdown. I didn't get any comments during the burn or on the tape. But to me, it was probably the smoothest and quietest SBS burn I ever remember.
Roger.
Houston, this is Jack. The bugs was erratic. The only thing I noticed, it was off nominal. It bounced around a lot in bouncing around was initially for about a minute around 1.8 decrease. Then it gradually started to diverge in that to in more decrease down to about 2.5 or make that 3 decrease. And I went to a decrease on the switch and about the time of crossover. I had it at about 1 decrease, and it crossed over, stabilized at 0, and I went to normal, and it stayed there the rest of the burn until just near the end it started to go decrease again.
Okay, we copy that, Jack.
Okay, Gordo, did you by any chance get the S4B impact?
Okay, the new impact time for that is 89.39, so we haven't quite got there yet.
Okay, thank you. And Houston, Ron here. Something a little bit of a surprise to me. When I turned on bank A, the chamber pressure came up to 87%, and stayed there, essentially. 5 seconds later, I put on bank B, the chamber pressure rose to 90, about 91, somewhere in that area. And then throughout the burn, chamber pressure increased, which you'll see on the strip chart. But I was sure surprised at only 87% when we started it. It looked like the velocity gain versus time was correct throughout the burn, though. The max on the chamber pressure ever got to was about 97%, and that was toward the end of the burn.
Roger, Ron.
Here, Gordo, I brought an airborne and a ground geologist along with me, and it took them till AOS to make sure they knew where we were.
That's not true.
Roger.
My big problem was all the holes were hills when I first started. Looked just like I had the picture upside down.
Roger, Ron. I have a couple pan camera photo pads for you. Goes in the flight plan at 90.45. And the start time is 090-5032. Stop time is 091-1057. Go ahead.
Okay, got 090-5032 and 911-057.
Okay, next one goes on the next page. Start time is 091-1805. Stop time is 091-2743. That's right.
Okay, Gordy, I turned the pan camera off there about 30 seconds ago, and the post-SPS burn checks are complete. Logic.
No,
that's,
well, just a minute.
The post-SPS burns are complete down to logic power 2 to deploy and retract. That's your flight plan. Okay. Mode is standby. Mark it. Power is on the fan camera. Okay, Houston, we're waiting your cue on the power.
Okay, on that end, there'll be no update to the TEI-4 pad. Over.
Here's Snippy Gang. Coming over Mari. No, let's see. Chrisium. Coming over Chrisium. It's, coming underneath us now. I will have, and with Jiffy. Okay, I'm going to hang off then a little bit. Get a, boy, this window.
And, Gorilla Hunt, the spacecraft with the, as we came around.
Real good, Gino. Nothing to report.
Very fine, thank you.
One little minor problem, Gordy, is that we're breathing so hard that the windows are fogging up on the inside for a change.
Okay, and we'd like the pan camera power off now. The pan camera
off.
Off, good.
Beautiful. Oh, boy, there's Picard. Or Pierce, one of the two. Gordy, all those dark and light albedo changes around Picard and Pierce are not obvious at this particular angle yet. There's some hint of them.
Roger.
The rim. Is it one farther south, Pierce? Which is the far? Is it one farther? Picard, yeah. Picard, I think, is the one I'm looking at. Yeah, it is.
Mark, 8 minutes to S4B impact.
Behind the rendezvous antenna. Rendezvous radar. And, yeah, way up.
out there, you ought to start seeing them.
I guess I ought to get that other stuff on the camera. Okay, we're just about over the top of Picard, and the rim materials, which go out about a third of a crater diameter, as near as I can tell, are distinctly darker, but not by much. They're more gray, really, than the gray tan or tannish gray of the rest of the Mare.
Roger. And we assume you're all set up for about to get that way for the landing site photos.
Yes, sir. There is no obvious ray pattern or secondary pattern outside of that blanket around Picard.
Roger.
I see no loops or obvious alignment that would be related to that crater. There are blocks, look like great big blocky areas on the rim.
Roger.
This is Apollo Control, some 6 minutes, 13 seconds away from S4B impact. The traces, seismograph traces from Apollo 14 and Apollo 16 will be visible in the newsroom video monitors. There will be a briefing in the small briefing room on the seismology of the impact. Some 5 minutes, 43 seconds now away from S4B predicted impact.
They want the 80 millimeter lens on these Terminator stuff. There's Tiridius, Ron. Yeah, I guess that's right.
America, can you verify the position of the PU valve at this time for us?
Roger, it's in normal.
Okay.
Load it up for your Terminator, Ron. What's, is it out of 105 or what? Is it, okay, 80 millimeter or 80? Okay. 5 frames over the Terminator, huh? 12 frames. Oh, very good. How soon do I start? Okay, about 5 minutes, all right. Gordy, you'd be interested. There's a crater that's just on the west rim of Crisium. Relatively fresh rim, fairly crisp rim, but no strong ray pattern, or no ray pattern apparent at all.
It looks like it's the plane's material around it, that since they come right up over the, right up to the edge of the crater in one spot. That is Posidonius. That's right, that's what I'm looking at.
Roger.
Not Posidonius, Proclus. That's what I'm describing.
You know, you're looking where?
Don't you recognize 41? Infamous Proclus. Okay, you give me a mark when I'm. Hey, look at the.
Yeah, I'll give you a mark, Jack.
Look at the Cauchy rails here. Man, is that neat.
Signal right on time with the instrument unit of the Saturn 4B, which
we're at 40. Okay, we're with you, Gordo. Thank you.
Seismic signals beginning to come in.
You get it.
There's Monnier, the landing site. I can't.
No, it's in dark.
Is it a little north of track?
No, I think it's right below us, Jack. I think it's right smack below us.
In darkness,
isn't it? Yeah, it is. I can't, I think I'm looking at Littrow right there, right below us, but I can't quite tell.
I can see Vitruvius, I have a better hand on it.
Reminder to go to F4 and 1250 as I have the last six pictures.
Roger. It's Posidonius, all right. Monnier, we're here early. Boy, I tell you, there's no question that right at the Terminator you pick up relief that you normally would not believe is there in the Mare. I remember Bill Anders talking about the appearance of sea swell within the Mare itself, and that's certainly clearly shown right at the Terminator. Plus, you start to see the shadows from all the very small craters that otherwise don't show up as much more than little depressions, if that.
Okay, we need accept so we can give you a landing site rest mat.
Eric, a couple items. Would you verify the S-band aux TV switch is in the science position? And one other thing, we think you were in low bit rate during the burn.
Okay, it's in science, and we very definitely were in high bit rate during the burn by the checklist.
Roger. We may have a problem there because it looks like low to us on the data. We'll check further.
Gordy, there was Ron brought up the question of possibility of not having gone to command reset, but just before we left you, you were probably able to see that I went command reset and turned on the tape, because I remember seeing the tape motion.
Okay, Jack, we're discussing it, what happened there. Mark, you can go back to block.
Houston, how do you read 17?
You're loud and clear, Jack.
Okay, before we really got concentrating on the the burn, and I had an opportunity to, we all had an opportunity to look at Korolev. At a very low grazing sun, one of the striking things was the, to me, was the extreme absence of relief, the very smooth surface that existed in Korolev, independent, of course, of the craters that are penetrating that surface. And it looked like there was a ring in the floor outside, next to the wall, about maybe a sixth of a crater radius, that was somewhat brighter at the low grazing sun, suggesting it may have had a different slope. And I believe I'm correct in saying that the inner floor may be slightly raised. We'll try to make other observations this next time around on that one. But there was, it's a very smooth floor. The light planes material in that crater is very smooth.
Okay, understand. One quick word from FAO's
of course, that's
film watchers here. Has to do with optional photographs. They'd rather you take the optional photographs on either OO or PP and reserve KK for the scheduled photographs. And as it stands now, we've got to reserve 80 frames on either OO or PP for scheduled photography. Over.
Okay, you have to keep track of that. We need. I was hoping we had optional capability on our first rev. And we'll work it out.
We do. They just want to put them
on
OO.
That's right. Just think about OO.
Jack, the problem on the high and low bit rate there was a synchronization problem between you on the burn checklist and us on the ground on our pre-LOS command. No hardware problems, and I don't think it'll be a problem in the future.
Okay, but you did lose the high bit rate, is that correct?
That's affirmative. We just had low bit rate during the burn.
Okay, I may have jumped the gun on you there a little bit, but I thought we were supposed to do that just before we went AOS. LOS, I think I did it about a minute before.
Okay, it was almost simultaneous with our sending the command. You got about 4 minutes to start looking at Copernicus coming here.
Okay, thank you. Sun's just setting. Okay, I have a visual on Copernicus.
And by the way, the S4B crunched in on time, and it's been ringing the LSAP seismometers like mad for some time now.
How do you read the LMB, Gordy?
Lock clear, Jay.
Okay, good. All right, I've got a visual on Eratosthenes and Copernicus. There are obviously different age graders in this light. You can see the ray patterns in Copernicus moderately well. You can even tell that they do cross Eratosthenes. Stadia shows up as a very clear dark area to the southwest of Eratosthenes. Now, one of the things that we mapped on the south east and south rim of Copernicus were dark albedo areas within the ejecta, and those are apparent here very clearly. And also within, on the upper portion of the rim, and on the benches in that quadrant, the walls, there are the dark spots, lower albedo material that we map. They are form linear patterns along the benches, apparently, although the benches, the topography is not too clear. But the dark spots are an arcuate linear arrangement, parallel to the rim, and they appear to have be elongate along radius, along the radius of the crater.
Roger, Jack.
This is in the southeast quadrant I'm referring to. Copernicus H is also very obvious as a dark-rimmed crater relative to the albedo of the ejecta blanket. And the northwest quadrant, which we mapped as a smooth floor material and somewhat darker albedo, is just as apparent here, although all the contrasts, of course, are less. The main thing that you can pick out in Earthshine are albedo distinctions. I remember that we also at one time, and I can't remember whether they made the final map or not, mapped an arcuate fault structure based on the change in albedo, and this was on the southwest quadrant of Copernicus. And that crossed the southern rim, more or less north-south, went down and curved across the floor and up the south-west rim. And that is a very clear arcuate pattern in this lighting. Darker albedo than the rest of the crater. And along the arc, there appear to be a couple or three even darker spots. Much as we thought we saw in some of the early photography.
Roger.
There is a general streaking, the radial streaking within that arcuate dark area that radiates radially from the crater. And if I had to project the dark area with north, whose northeast terminus is the arc in the crater, I projected off to the southeast about crater diameter and a half, maybe. And now we're getting essentially directly overhead, and again, the the dark spots within the crater wall are still apparent, and the streaming or the radial elongation of these spots is clear. Now, on the lower wall, that's below the first bench, I can see four of these dark areas, and on the next wall above that, above the first bench, there are two obvious ones and a couple that are somewhat more subtle.
Okay, and can you see anything of this, that structure we're wondering about in the central peak?
No, Gordy, I can't. The there's very little indication of relief in Earthshine, and particularly at this high sun angle, high Earth angle, pardon the expression.
Roger.
The central peaks that do stand out, though, is a much lighter albedo area within the crater. It looks to me like the best thing you can do in Earthshine is work with albedos. Knowing the general topography from the earlier photography. We're coming up on Kepler now. Copernicus is out of my view in window 5. Maybe Ron sees it. Do you, Ron?
No, it's out of my view now, too.
Okay, Reinhold, I was not concentrated. Yes, I can see Reinhold. Reinhold is one of the craters, just like Copernicus, that may have contributed ejecta into the Apollo 12 soils.
Do you see anything? An S4B, a 16th S4B hit out there to the south, I think.
Well, I don't see anything that would indicate that. Reinhold is an Eratosthenian age crater, as you may recall. It's crossed very obviously, even in this light, by the Copernican rays, which is prime. The main way we determine the age, other than it doesn't have any rays itself, although on the good photography we now have, we know it has secondary crater patterns around it.
We're not looking at the same crater, are you?
Reinhold is right down here, Gino.
Where are you looking?
Well, it's south of Copernicus. South and a little west. Okay, I can see Landsberg now. And I'm afraid I can't shed any light, pardon the expression, on the old question we've had about the age of Landsberg relative to the Mare.
Okay.